Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now your host, the award-winning Jessica R. Bunavage. Hey, Jess!
Yes! Oh my gosh! How are you? Happy Monday! Today is a special, special, special episode. And we have a two series, right?
Two series.
Yes.
Two series. It's also tax day. It's the new tax day.
Oh, shoot. That's right.
So, ladies, we hope you watched our show from a couple weeks ago giving you all the best tax advice, because today's the day that you had. That was it.
Well, they said that you can still ask for extension, but, you know, if you can, just apply now. Wait, hold on before we start the show. You know, I discovered something this week that Max, our producer, is a count. Max, you're a count. Oh my gosh. Do people actually know what it is? I do because I'm Spanish, so we kind of like know that. But yeah. You're a count.
One, two, three.
I love it. I want to go to your house and wear my outfit.
All right, come on over. So, okay. But you know, today we have a very good show because it's with one of my dearest friends, Dr. Grace Corbett.
Yes.
And
yes.
Everybody remembers Dr. Grace from the Queen Latifah show.
Yeah.
And I met Dr. Grace through her sister, Angie. Angie became one of my best friends, our family's best friend. So naturally, Dr. Grace did too. So before we continue, you know, Angie's purpose in life was to bring people together. Angie unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago, but Angie brought everybody together. Mm-hmm. And so Angie brought this moment together because Angie knew that years ago, Dr. Grace would go into retirement, which she did.
Yeah.
You and I, Jess, would do this show. And Dr. Grace said, Max, you're the only person that could pull me out of retirement.
I know.
When I really thought about that, I thought about it was because of Angie. Angie put us together.
Oh.
And so I miss Angie terribly. Dr. Grace misses Angie terribly. She was such a light. When they had her funeral services, there were people literally in the parking lot because there were so many people inside the church. That was Angie's nature, to bring people together. So today's show... As your executive producer, we're dedicating the show to Angelina Cornish, who we miss her terribly, but we know that every time we say her name, her spirit surrounds us.
Hey, Angelina Cornish. I know you can see us, you can hear us.
You know, and Jess, Dr. Grace is known for so many books. From 10 good choices that empower Black women's lives, to 10 bad choices that ruin Black women's lives, to the Band-Aid bond, to the list goes on and on. She's an author, a television host. She has been doing this. And the most important thing is she is an expert in giving advice and love advice and relationship advice. She's the best. You know that.
Oh my gosh. Can I just say, I've been reading her book for like two. I've actually started the other one, but now because we're going to talk about the Band-Aid bond that I started I started with the other one, but I have to read this for our episode for today, but I have learned so much. I mean, Max, can I ask you, is there any relationship or any of your relationship that is toxic that it's toxic, but you still kept it?
You know, of course. Yeah. And I think a lot of people do that because of patterns and pathology. You know, we do what we know until something else is introduced to us. And then we disrupt the pattern. We disrupt the pathology. And Dr. Grace's books do just that. The Band-Aid bond will rip off the Band-Aid and make everything better.
Okay, let's get into the show.
We have to have Dr. Grace on.
I know. Okay. Okay. Staying in a healthy relationship that robs you of peace of mind is not being loyal. It's choosing to herself by Cami Zgunle. Okay. I want you to take a minute and think about the most important relationships in your life. Okay. Think about it right now. Think about who you're with, how long you've had them and the role that you play in them in their lives and why they're so important to you. Once you've done that, I want you to ask yourself one question. If I saw someone else in this relationship, would I think it was healthy? The reason that I ask you to shift your focus is that sometimes when we think about our own relationships, we look at them in terms of how strong we feel they are or how long we've known the person without recognizing that there may be underlying issues that would be more obvious to us if we weren't so close to the person. And believe me, I've been in that relationship for, you know, a lot of times. And so I'm joined by the incredible Dr. Grace Cornish Livingstone, a dynamic speaker, relationship consultant, and best-selling author of numerous books, including The Band-Aid Bond, which we are going to discuss today. Hey, Dr. Grace!
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I know you're retired and you can just say no to Max. So thank you for, you know, for coming to our show and helping a lot of women nowadays, especially after the pandemic. A lot of them, 70% of couples of marriages in Orange County have divorced. A lot of us, it's so sad. A lot of us are going through, you know, mental issues, emotional issues, and, you know, even spiritual issues. Which is why I love when Max told me about you. I read about you. I'm like, oh, spiritual is still very important. I know therapy and everything, but it's just the whole package, right?
You're absolutely right. Because one of the things that we have to keep in mind is we are spirit, soul, and body. We are human beings with spirit, souls, and body. So we are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So you can treat the mind as much as you want. But if someone has a broken spirit, it's going to be incomplete. So that's why you have to treat, you have to treat from all aspects.
Yeah. Now, doctor, first, I know, before we get into the show, you know, I know that you found a purpose of helping people in a healthy relationship in a tragic way. Would you be willing to share a little bit about, you know, about you and your story, if that's okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's such a dear thing to my heart. And I did. I retired 20 years early.
Because I found
soulmate, and I've just been living hidden away. But honestly, it started when I was 10 years old. I saw my natural mother, who was a fashion model. As a matter of fact, she was one of the first black models for Bloomingdale's in New York for Barbara.
What?
Yes, she was.
Wow.
Yes. And she was tragically murdered when I was 10 years old by a controlling ex-lover who became a stalker. And he said to her, if I can't have you, no one else will, because she tried to get away from him for years and he just wouldn't let go. And so he pulled a load of guns, shot her 6 times in her head. I was right there. And then he turned around. He tried to kill me, but the gun got stuck. And then he actually killed himself. And I remember saying, God, how is it that someone say they love someone, that they can kill someone so viciously? It didn't make sense to me. So my interpretation of what love supposedly is, it was totally confused. Yes. And then 20 years later, my mother's sister, who lived in Greenwich, on Greenwich Street in Hampton Park, on her 50th birthday by her common-law living husband.
What?
And I'm like, this is either a bad generational curse or a dysfunctional family pattern.
Whichever
way it is, you got to break the cycle before the cycle breaks you. And so my life goal.
How did you break it?
Something. A lot of soul searching, a lot of prayer. Oh my gosh, that even when I have my PhD in social psychology and a master's in urban ministry.
Yes.
It's all about praying and connecting to that greater power, which I call God because I am a Christian.
Yes.
And I mean, if it wasn't for God, I would not be alive. Because I remember when that gun got stuck.
Yeah.
That man was trying to kill me. And I said, God, please don't let him kill me. And he went to pull the trigger and it stopped. And the way he looked at me, he was so shocked. None of us could explain it. But I, you know, I realized after that, it was the Holy Spirit said, not this one.
Not this,
I'm going to use her to actually help him to get out on his deserve. But first, you have to get rid of the bad.
Yes.
So I call it face it, erase it, replace it. Face the situation. Let's erase it, which is a lot of work. But then let's replace it with something good.
Face it, erase it, Replace it. Okay. Yes. Now, Dr. Grace, your experience and my experience are somehow the same. My mother was murdered as well at age 14, 15 or 13, I think. God. It was also, although I did not see it happen like you.
Yeah,
I saw her when they took her out of the ground, and you know she was.
Oh,
it was
so
really
sorry,
bad.
Jessica.
And
yes.
Of course, during that time, you and I, that age, you really don't know anything. You have not developed much yet, right? But I mean,
those are your formative years. It's your formative years, and I don't know but it has happened a lot. And please let me know if you can identify with it. When that happened and the tragedy is so hard, you suppress it. So you totally wipe it out to move on so you can cope if you're not getting therapy. And back in the days, a lot of families did not believe in therapy at all. So no one understood. They didn't know how to deal with it. So I suppressed everything. And a lot of women have done this, hundreds of thousands throughout the world, who suppress when things like this happen to them. And you totally wipe out your entire childhood. You don't remember it. And then one day, all of a sudden, when you're ready to say, I want to be all of me, everything just coming, flooding out like an open floodgate. I don't know. Have you experienced that as well?
Oh, my gosh. Dr. Grace, here on the show, I literally suppressed everything. I worked because I had four siblings that I had to take care of. So I worked my ass off. Did not even have religion. I was raised Catholic. I know everything about saints and everything. Going through confession and everything. I was not Christian yet. And then I was also sexually molested. And, and then I wrote a book. That's why I was going to call you, because I wanted to discuss this with you. I wrote a book that I was going to, I wrote a book about my whole life. That's when I felt like it opened a Pandora's box.
Yes.
That's when I actually started my anxiety, not depression. It's mostly, I think, what do you call that? The past trauma.
PTSD. PTSD. You know what's going on? When you write in a book, it's like your emotion. It's like an emotional, I don't want to use it. Let me put it in layman's. It's like an emotional throw up. You're throwing every single thing out. You're going into those deep layers. You're on peeling them off layer by layer. And I sent her so you can cope and survive. She's there, the inner child, trying to get out to say, listen, here I am. I'm the one who've hurt. I'm being afraid. And you know what happens too when you go through that? Mm-hmm. You think everyone around you is going to die at some point early. So you're wondering if your husband.
Yes.
Trust me.
Oh my
gosh. This thing, I actually lived it. So you feel everyone. So you prepare yourself and you actually deal with death more than you can deal with sickness, because the death you expect to come. But when you see a loved one going through sickness, prolonged sickness, it tears you apart.
Oh.
But the death, because you've seen it at such an early age, you're like, okay, they're going to die eventually. It's when. But then you have to reel that in and say, wait a minute, this is not who I am. This is not what's supposed to happen. That was a tragedy. So I have to separate both of these things. So when you're writing, Jessica, and the thing is, when these things happen, when you write, you are so genuine because you're writing the truth. Because
you're making me cry.
it's you know, people don't understand. I know, believe me. When I speak to people like that, the tears just come rolling because I know I understand. And I can speak to you spirit to spirit because I've lived it. And I tell people, I don't just talk the talk. I actually walk the talk. I went through this thing. This is not a joke for me. This is because I really want to help people from anyone. Being in a situation where someone is robbing your life short. Look, the simple truth is this. We all come in life sandwiched between two pieces of papers. A birth certificate when we come in, a death certificate when we pass through God's other door.
Yeah.
The time in between is a precious gift. Stop wasting your life with people who don't mean you well. Stop giving away your power. You can be powerful and nice. You don't have to say, I'm going to shut my mouth and let people walk all over me. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
The thing is, you have that boundary in other person where there's no beating, there's no disrespect. And it's not just physical abuse. I'm talking about emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, and just someone constantly putting you down. So sometimes they don't hit you, but they will hit you with those words and tell you, oh, you're not amounting to anything. Then you find a person start to cheat and run away with your self-worth. It's time to step it out court. I tell people, break the cycle before the cycle breaks you.
Oh my God, I love this. That's why I love this you know, this Band-Aid bond. Ladies, if you have to buy this book, because it's true when you explain it, you put that when you go through trial or pain and you keep, you know, you get a temporary Band-Aid to cover it.
Yes.
Because sometimes you're like with what happened to me, it was just now that I'm very open. I'm sorry to talk about, you know, my trials and my mom. You know, it's like a wound that I cover, you know, it's like a wound that I cover with Band-Aid. If the more you cover it, the more, you know, it gets rotten and it, you know, but then now it's like, yeah, Max was just telling me, when I was doing my show with Shari Carney, because I didn't realize, oh my gosh, I was molested. And we were talking about molestation. All of a sudden, I just like, oh, I forgot I was molested. In the middle of the show, I just cried.
You suppressed it. Yeah. I cannot tell you how many people, because I used to work on a lot of TV talk shows.
Yes.
And I would counsel everyone that comes on. And I don't do clinical counseling. I'm not licensed to do clinical, but your social issues and your spiritual issues, I can help you with that from every aspect. But what I did, though, and you'd be surprised how many celebrities who would be guests on the show that I actually help them and speak through these things. And you see them on the screen and they have to have this persona on. And it's the difference between the person and the personality. So when I help them to reach that and to go back into that, they're like, oh, my God, I totally forget about this. I was like, no, what happened is you had to put up that facade. Whether in front of the camera or behind the camera, because we have to go on in life and we have to survive. So there comes a time when you're saying, you know, especially with this pandemic, you know what it has done? It has let people face reality where they're saying, listen, I don't know if this is it. Too many people are dying. I'm not going to waste any more of my life. I'm going to make choices that are going to better me. Now, I'm going to find who I am and I'm going to live my truth. I'm going to live to the fullest. So you find a lot of people doing a lot of soul searching. That's why your show is so important, because people, you know, and I love the title, by the way, The Polished Woman. And it's not for women. I'm sure it's for men too.
Okay. Oh, it's for men too. Trust me.
Dr. Grace.
Like a diamond in the rough and where you're polishing, you know. And
hey, Dr. Grace, it's Max. I have to jump in real quick. Hey, so you know, so it's a revelation for Jessica as well. So her whole life was about acting, because that's how she was able to really live, is that she played other parts. So all of this, like, I just had that aha moment where it's like, Jess, your life as an actress was a way that you could escape your reality. And now by being who you are, you've broken the pattern and the pathology to be the polished woman, to help others in need, because you've been there, you lived it, you speak it, and it's your truth.
Amen. Yeah. See that? You were the diamond in the rough, which is, you know what I mean? And so all of that, that beauty and that value was always there. And I'm glad Max brought that point in. So then you polished everything to become you. You're just brilliant and shining. Because, and that is such a blessing to be able to do it in this lifetime while you still have breath. So many people go through life, Jessica, when they're approaching that next certificate to take their that threshold into God's other realm. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And they look back and said, God, I wish it's because you know now and you're beautifully beaming. That is what enables you to continue to help people from an authentic point of view. And it's amazing.
Wow. So that is like when you share the light that God has actually, you know, given you. Because for years, you know, I know a lot of women, ladies, I know a lot of you are in darkness right now. In fact, I have a couple of people that I know who are in darkness. And I actually just shared to someone that, you know what, I've been through darkness all my life, almost, you know, all my life. Yeah. And you will, as soon as you find light, whatever trials that come into your life, like, for example, you know, like last year, you know, during this pandemic, even if trials were like bombarding my whole family, Dr. Grace, I was not affected at all. I had peace. In fact, they were like, what is happening to you? Why are you so happy?
That Holy Spirit anointing just covering you.
Yeah.
Because what you have done, as you said, you walked through the wall because you knew everything about Catholicism and religious aspect of it. But then that spiritual connection, where there's a relationship between you and the Creator. There's such a difference. Because let me just segue one. My aunt, who was killed by our common law lover, they went to church every Sunday. Here's the thing. They were in church, but church was not in them. There's a difference. They were in church physically, but church, which is the Spirit of the Lord, was not in them. Because if you have the true Spirit of the Lord, and I'm not talking about a lot of these fake prophets that are out here, who are pimping and are just charlatans. I'm not dealing with them. That's a whole nother show and a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about genuine people who are saying, I want to understand. And when you cried out, when your soul cried out, the creator heard that and come. So you know what tragedy is. You'll see what the worst thing can happen, which is losing your mother. That was the worst thing. Losing a parent, losing a child. Those are the two worst things. So what happens is this now. You're covered because you're saying, you know what? What's the worst can happen? I grew up in it. People don't know, but even though you're blinded out, it toughened you up, meaning it gave you that. It's an extra. Even though you're fearful of certain things, you're courageous in where you're the protective one because you had to go into that mode. We had to protect everyone else. You were the protector and the provider. So you were protecting your siblings. So when everyone else was panicking, that interior self that has built that strength, that came into play, coupled with the creator giving you that peaceful assurance. It's like, Jessica, I have you. I've got you. Yeah. And so with you going through that, going through the motions where everyone else is panicking, you're like, you know what? I've seen the worst thing that can happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to get through this because of my faith and I believe. You don't have to say
something. Dr. Grace, a while ago, you mentioned about, you know, when you go through that whole, trial and tribulation and just, you know, that trauma. And you think that, oh my gosh, you know, something's going to happen to my, you know, to someone or someone close to you. How do you get rid of those, you know, thoughts in your mind?
Somehow
you're traumatized,
and I tell
right?
You, yeah. You know, and this goes, you know, it's so fun. That's why I call myself a spiritual psychologist.
Yes, I love that, by the way. I love that. Yeah.
I'm not a clinical psychiatrist. I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm not. And I admire and I have friends who are, and I will send them certain patients that I don't deal with. I will send that to them because that's their area of speciality. But when you're dealing with the spirit of someone, I'm there. So with that, you go into your prayer room and within yourself, greater than all of us. And your Lord, what do you call him? Lord, Father, or whatever. Mm-hmm. To me, it's God. I'm like, God, please. Yes. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. I need some joy. Please give me the understanding. How do I understand this? I know that I came from you. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Through all of this, it's a journey that we all have to take. Please help me to make the right decisions. And please quiet. You know, because I go back again, and that's part of the minister in me as well.
Yeah.
Where the Lord said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of faith and a sound mind. So when that fear comes up, and it does, and believe me, sometimes daily, you just say, listen, this is not from you. This is a distraction. It is not a healthy spirit, and I do not want any part of that. Please let me be courageous and healthy. Absolutely. Courageous, healthy, and strong. And you deal with these things, and no matter what, you just say, call it the universe, but I prefer going to the God.
Office. Yeah, going
right. You know, like, oh, the universe is going to do this. You know, the universe doesn't do it by itself. There's a God to, you know, and this is my belief. There's a God of the universe that is very personal.
Yeah.
If you choose to have that relationship, and when you have that personal relationship, as you know, the Bible says, "My peace I give to you, not like the world give it to you, but I give you that peace." It is a gift. When you can actually accept that and say, why am I worried? One of the chapters of one of my books, and my husband and I wrestle with this all the time. I'm like, why worry when you can pray? And as simple as it sounds, I'm like, look, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And after you pray, you always feel so much better. You know, but I challenge people. I said, even if you don't believe, just say, because this is what happened to me in my 20s. I said, Lord, I heard about you when I was growing up. My grandmother taught me about, but I need to know you for myself. You are real. I want you. And I locked myself away when I was doing one of my books, 10 Bad Choices That Ruined Black Women's Lives. Oh my God. That was a bestseller. Beyond. For Random House, which is like one of the largest publishers in the world.
Yeah.
And I did that when I was writing that book. And let me tell you, Jessica, when I tell you I know God is real, no one can actually convince me any other way. So, and I mean, that's, you know, my relationship works for me. My relationship and my spirituality works for me with my faith. And that's what I used to help other people. I have people who are non-believers, but it's, and you know, and some of them are very sick, and I pray them through. I'm like, listen, I'm not asking you to take my faith. I'm just going to pray you through. And they're like, you know, and it's so amazing by me praying them through and helping them, genuinely trying to help them and help them all the way through. They actually ask, well, can I go to, you know, where do you get this faith from? I just point them to the Bible. As an hypnotist, and say, let me, you're real. Let me understand. And if he's not real to you, then just keep going. You know what I mean? With your life. But what do you have to lose by just asking?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that he'll show so up and true. Show out, as some people say.
Dr. Grace, speaking of husband, you just mentioned your husband. You are happily married. So happy. Okay.
Max, I want to ask you. Max was at our wedding 20 years ago. Max came to our wedding in Jamaica.
Oh, my God.
Wedding. Max was right there.
Oh, my God. That is so good. But okay, I want to ask you about relationship now, because women tend to give, you know, they tend to give so much. And because most women, and I read this from your book, most women are actually thirsty to be needed and loved. So they give, you know, they give and give too much, you know, until there's nothing more to give. Then you realize, oh, you should take time out to to realize that you are important as well. Now, my question is, how much, how long can you be submissive? Because, you know, that's a big thing in the Bible that I know of, right? To be submissive to your husband, you know, it's God first, and then your husband, and then, you know, your spouse, and then yourself, and then your children. What does submissive means to you?
That's a good question, because some people take it where submissive means you're a doormat and this person is ruling you.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You're going to be submissive towards each other. I remember when I was in seminary, how many years ago, and two pastor friend of mine, male friend, one was from Nigeria. He's like, Dr. Grace, I'm going to pray to the Lord for you to get a husband to be submissive. I said, well, you better pray to the Lord that the man can cook. That's a joke. And funny enough, my husband loves cook, so, you know. Submissive mean, okay, if he's the head, then you're the neck. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
But the head cannot turn without the neck anyway. So, you know what I mean? The head cannot turn without the neck. So it's a relationship. With Corinthians other, it's not one person actually, you know, powering over another. Because if someone cannot love you like the way Christ loved the church, then why are you being submissive to him anyway? And if he does love you in that capacity, it doesn't mean submissive mean like I worship you and stuff. Because a lot of people take that and they're mistreating people and they're doing some ridiculous things. And I tell a woman, if he's cheating on you, if he hits you, if he's killing your self-esteem, you do not need that. The simple thing is this, and this works for men too, because, you know, there's some men who are being beaten too. Believe me, there's a lot. There are some Samsons in the clutches of some Delilahs. Let's keep it real here.
And that's so true. And emotionally, they get beaten emotionally as well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And if you, this is how you look at a relationship. You ask yourself three questions. Does this person enrich my life in any way? Is he looking out for my I am? Because if they're enriching their life, they're bringing something to the table. If they like you for who you are, they're not going to try to change you to say, well, why can't you be more like this one or I prefer that one? Absolutely not.
Yes.
And if they, you know, so you ask those three questions. And if they're looking out for your best interest, they're not going to hurt you in any way. They're going to just be kind. And you have a beautiful relationship together. So does this person enrich my life in any way? Is he looking out for my best interest? And does he like me for the individual who I am? Now, here's the thing, Jessica. If you have to constantly take 10 steps backwards, and he's not willing to even take 3 steps forward, the disparity is too wide. It's not going to work. It is not going to work. Because a leopard never changes his spot. But what people will do, they will conform for the moment just to win you over. And it may last weeks, months, or years. And then all of a sudden you see that, you know, the true nature coming out. And then please take listen, because women do the right person or the soulmate, because they're busy going after something else, that the Mr. Right now instead of Mr. Right, or the Miss Right now, because the person is right for now, but they're not the right person for you.
Oh, wow. That's like, oh my God. Yeah, that's so true. So, okay. Yeah, that's like Max is saying, that's like your book, Jess. I know I have to send it after. You know what, Dr. Grace, just to be truth, after reading your book, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed to send my book to her.
No, please send it to me. You know what's going on? Let me tell you what's going on with the Band-Aid bond too. I'm actually going to bring it out, but on a different title, because here's the thing. It did so well, and it was just selling that Amazon sold out. And I was with this place with Ingram, and they were actually doing the books. And so it happened. Amazon keeps out, but you can still get copies, but I'm going to change it and bring it on another title. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Johnson & Johnson, who owns Band-Aid.
Yes. Oh, so yes. Well, are they going after you?
They did, but I had to explain to them. I said, excuse me, what Band-Aid bonding is, it's a term. It has nothing to do with your physical Band-Aid. It's a term, a generic term, meaning when you cover up a broken or wounded relationship.
Yeah.
It's like aspirin. Someone owned that, but now it's become a generic term, just like elevator. I said, Band-Aid is now generic. It's about relationship. So they're like, okay, we're going to let you go with that. And the person even asked me to send them a copy. And they're using it for their own personal way.
And they're using it? Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yes. Okay. Hold on. We have a Twitter. We have a Twitter question. Go ahead, Max. Yeah. Go ahead, Max. We have a Twitter question.
All right. So, hey, Dr. Grace, the Twitter question is, I love my husband so much, but he won't take one step.
Okay, she answered her own question. Now she answered it. She said she thinks it's time.
Yeah.
However, if you have that conversation, have the conversation, make sure it's something where he's not that detrimental. Because some people deal with separation differently. Some people would gladly let you go. Some people will let you go without any kind of violence, and some people will get violent. In the situation with my mother and my aunt, both of their partners or their ex-partners became violent. But I know situations where people agree to disagree, and it can be messy. But if it's not working and if he's not going forward, that means he has settled in his own situation. Either he's looking, oh, my God, this is what I call dead weight, the dead weight date.
Oh, yes.
You know you're married to them. It's like get rid of that dead weight that just drags you down and weighs you down and get – you know, fix yourself, meaning become your best self. Because all those pieces of you in those years being with that person has taken away from who you really are. So you have to collect back the power, your power pieces, to become your total self. Where you're saying, you know what? I don't even necessarily like the color purple. I like green. But all these years, I have to tell him I like purple. That's just an example. I'm just using those.
Yes.
So just take back the pieces of yourself and have that conversation. It's not working. You're not taking any step forward. That means you're happy where you are. So he doesn't want to be there anyway. Have the conversation and it's time to move on. Do an ultimatum where you're having the conversation. What is a good time for us to break free? Are the children involved? Are the children older? Are they younger? And whichever way, it doesn't make sense to be in a relationship where you're hurting or you're not happy. Because when you're halfway there and he's halfway there, two incomplete halves equal one whole mess. So I just, you know, it's funny, just I have to say this, and you're absolutely right. I retired 20 years earlier than I should have. Let me tell you why. I was so exhausted. It's not because I was just so exhausted. I did a joke. I said, oh, because I found my soulmate, I left. That's not why. I was so tired because there's so many people that needed help. I was actually living out of a suitcase, meaning my husband is at home and then our daughter, young daughter. And then, so I was gone every weekend. And that's why I said living out of suitcase, because I was doing national tours, television, where I was the staff psychologist for the Queen Latifah show. I used to do Ricky Lake, Monta Williams, Good Day New York. I was there every 2 weeks as the relationship person. And I was just exhausted. And I was like, God, please, I need a break. Help me. I just need a break. I'm taking a break and I enjoy the break. And Max will tell me this because he kept saying, Dr. Grace, you're not finished. You need to get back. I'm like, leave me alone, Max. I'm doing it. I can't wait. And so, but you know, it just dawns every time someone writes me, which they do, it just dawns on me because I know I can, I could, and I should help more. But I was tired. But now, I'm refreshed now. Hey.
Yeah. It's about time. Hey, Dr. Grace, a lot of women, a lot of people are suffering right now, you know.
And
they need your advice. You know, we need you. And I believe that that person who actually killed your mom, you know, and killed himself, God saved you from that incident for a reason. And so maybe God is telling you, hey, Dr. Grace, you rested for a couple of years. Maybe pick up the mic and come back.
Talk about replenish. You know, I was going to replenish. And
yeah, you are literally replenished.
I would just do it differently, though, instead of doing so many things, you know, to back. Because if you look at the state of relationships nowadays, especially on these reality shows, oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. And these younger generation on the Instagram and this trying to find love. And I mean, beautiful young young people who are changing the concept of who they are, yeah, and what they look like. Everyone just looks so manufactured. Nothing, yeah, is real anymore. And here's the thing. Back in the days, it used to be the 7-year hitch, the 20-year ditch. So here's the thing. But after 7 years, supposedly the husband would get an itch that he wants, yeah, to try something else. So he's like, okay, I'm itching. I'm trying out there. And then 20 years, supposedly, would ditch his wife for the younger secretary or whatever. Here's the thing. Yeah. And I have a solution for that, too. But here's the thing. Nowadays, it's called a 3-month hitch, where people are getting hitched up in 3 months, the 1-year ditch. And they're divorcing within a year because they're taking this revolving door in and out of relationship because no one told them about the components of healthy relationship. So if it feels good, I'm just going to do it. Okay, I'm going to get with this one and I can jump from this one to this, to this, to this. So it's like people going around like little jackrabbits jumping, yes, from, you know, hopping here,
there, everywhere. Dr. Grace, I did that. Yeah.
And the thing is, because I'm not even criticizing. I'm like, look, it's not making you happy, so yeah, let me help you. It's not, yes, making you. If you're happy with it, go ahead. It's your life. As, yeah, long as you're not hurting yourself and hurting anyone, go for it. But if you want a healthy relationship, and this is what I tell people, Jessica, on a secret, serious note. I said, marriage is a personal choice in loving, not a public requirement for living. You don't have to be married if you don't want to be. But if you do, it, wow, is your birthright. And I'll show you how to get into a healthy marriage. And if it's not working, let's get out of the bad. Like the lady who sent the Twitter to Max before. If, yes, it's not working, you still have your whole life ahead of you. You're not the only one. So many people are with your spouse or with, mm-hmm, your living lover. Because what is going on is you're in that situation where people are locked, oh, yeah, in. No one can go out. So two things are going to happen. Either you're going to look at each other and say, you know what? If we can pass through this together, we're going to make it work. Or, uh-huh, the truth comes out where you see the true nature of that person and said, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. We were both so busy working all these years, mm-hmm, and doing other things that I didn't see who you really were. But now that, yeah, I have the opportunity to see you, I don't even like you and you don't even, wow, like me. So it's time for us to just, if we can, as amicably as ever and peacefully and respectfully, let's just agree to disagree and go our own way so you can find who you want and I can live my life. Yeah. And, you know, and it's not even about finding don't just jump into another relationship. Yeah. Take time to heal you.
But doctor, I want to ask you this because this is important for
so absolutely.
What do you say about divorce? What, you know, because in God, because that's, yes, like for him, he doesn't like, you know, divorce, right? As much as
like
you can. Yes. No,
you know what? I know in Matthew where Jesus said, if, yes, it's fornication or someone is cheating on you, get rid of him. If someone is mistreating on you, him or her, get rid. We had this. I'm so glad I went to seminary, but I'm telling you the truth.
Yes.
If I didn't have the Holy Ghost in me before that, believe me, seminary would have knocked it out. Because some of the, I'm being very honest, let me, yeah, tell you, some of them who call themselves professors in, yes, that, in that area, I'm telling you, yes, they're like so sacrilegious. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I remember that was one of the conversations. And I remember some of the male pastors were saying, oh, no, you're not supposed to get divorced. I said, let me tell you something. My aunt was with that man going to church every Sunday,
yes,
in church.
Yes.
And I know she would have divorced him. Yes. She would have been alive today. So if something or someone is detrimentally, run. Don't let anyone tell you you're not supposed. What they're saying is when you're not supposed to get divorced, that's if someone, when Moses instructed that, if you look back at the Old Testament, when Moses, yes, instructed them, because they wanted divorce for everything. If she did not wash that pot, he's like, I'm going to divorce her and get someone else. And that's why he said, no, I'm telling you, read the context. People don't read the context of what's going on. But even Jesus himself saying, if it's fornication,
yes,
where someone is cheating on you,
yes,
where he's dating a Trina, Nina, and a Gina at the same time.
Yes.
No, bye-bye.
Or I
someone
know.
Is mistreating you constantly.
Yeah.
Can you imagine with someone constantly giving you a headache,
yes,
telling you you're not good enough, or just where you're carrying that load,
yes,
by yourself, where he's just sitting there again like a dead weight?
Yes.
No, absolutely not. Do bad all by yourself, which is just a term, because you're going to actually end up doing better, because you're going to lose all that dark cloud around you. Do not let them, because a lot of them who are telling you this, believe me, and I used to counsel a lot of ministers too, And after I did the tour, God had me going into all the churches, from the largest to the smallest, counseling and ministering. And let me tell you, Jessica, some of the things that happened in those church is worse than what I was seeing in the secular and on television.
Trust me
with that. That alone, if I did not have the Spirit of God in me, that would have broken my spirit and broken my trust. Because you look at it, you're like, what? This is in the house of
Dr. Grace.
We have another Twitter question
because we're also running out of time. But the Twitter question is, and answer this quickly because we only have a couple minutes. But the woman is asking, it's time for me to run. Well, I need to run, but where do I go?
That's just it. You have to make a plan. Do not just run out there. Make a plan. Start squirreling away.
Especially if you have kids, right?
Yes. You've got to. And in the Band-Aid bond, I have an entire section of how to actually make connection. What this just happened to someone I know. She was living from Atlanta. And she had three different children and she had to get out there immediately. What she did was found a woman's shelter in New York. She made a connection through online and she took that bus with those children, went all the way up to New York, and she's hidden in a shelter where he could not find her. So find something or someone. If you can't get help from a family member, because some of them will not even help you. They're like, oh, stay with the situation. Absolutely not. If it's too detrimental, you've got to get out and save yourself and save your children. But try to get through a shelter, see if there's any government programs.
We have one here, Dr. Grace. I have to jump in. There's if you're in a domestic violence relationship, there's the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is thehotline.org, or call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Yes. And if you go online, they have chat 24 hours and you can text as well. Free confidential 24 hours. The hotline.
Okay, I'm so glad you did that, Max, because you know what happened now? Nowadays, especially with the pandemic, I believe there are more programs that are helping people, women, especially to get out of these unhealthy situations.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We have to plan for Dr. Grace, one more. Okay, so the Band-Aid bond is divided into three sections, right?
Yes.
Discovering the signs, uncovering the causes, recovering from the syndrome. Can you explain in like a minute about these three important, you know, sections? And then next week she is going, Dr. Grace, I know, I don't want to finish. I don't want to end this one. You have to join us again next week. She's going to be here once again. But I just want her to explain quick about the three sections of the Band-Aid bond. Discovering the signs, uncovering the causes, and recovering from the syndrome.
See, that's again like the face it, erase it, replace it. So you're discovering the signs. So you're looking at it. Lift up that Band-Aid.
Okay.
See what's going on in the relationship, where you're hurting, what is wrong with it. So you have to be honest. Mm-hmm. Forget all the lies. Do not cover up anything. Because if you have a wound on your foot and you begin to cover it up, it's going to fester until you lose your foot. Now, if you open it up, expose that wound, it's going to heal. So therefore, expose it. Do not even care about what will people think. It's none of their business. Let them live their own life. They have their own problems. You have to take care of you and what's going on in your household. So you look at the truth. So that's discovering it. That's discovering. The next thing now, you're going to have to start making healthy habits or healthy changes. So there's a whole section, which I can't even go through here. It's all in the book, but we can break it down the next time. There's a section where you start building back your self-worth, your self-esteem, or the marriage or relationship, if you both want it. Both people have to be willing. If not, then you have to separate. And then the next step now is bringing up, be in a bad situation there, but I deserve healthy love from myself first, and then from everyone else around me. But you have got to start by loving yourself first to say, I am not going to put myself through this anymore. And the thing is, it's about taking back the pieces of yourself and shining to become that wonderful person that you were created to be.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Beautiful. You know, it's so important. It's so important. Love is respect.
Yes.
It's so important. And really, you know, you need therapy, you need spiritual help, you know.
Yes.
And it, you know, and it's okay. Dr. Grace, before I end, do they have time? Can I just read this one? These are the seven definite won'ts of Dr. Grace, okay? For yourself, because you need this. I won't allow anyone to disrespect me or take me for granted. I won't allow people to walk over me by yes at times when I really want to say no. I won't allow anyone to mentally, verbally, emotionally, or physically abuse me. I won't allow a partner to make me feel invaluable, unworthy, or unloved ever again. I won't allow anyone to emotionally blackmail me into feeling guilty for wanting a better life and love. Lastly, I won't allow anyone to run my life or block my blessing. So, amen. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Let me put this for the ladies they know. People believe, oh, let me stick with the evil I know because there are no good men left.
Yes.
Nonsense. If you believe there are no good men left, you're going to end up with a no good man. When I'm closing, let me leave you with this.
Yes.
There are absolutely four types of men. My father, who was a serial cheater, he's the one who told me this part. And yes. I always remember this. He said there are some men who cheat when they're younger, but they stop when they get older, when they get more mature.
Yes.
Some men who do not cheat when they're younger, but they stop when that midlife crisis kick in, when they're balling, and, you know, they come with the sports car trying to squeeze in.
Yeah.
So, and there's some men who will never stop cheating, but there are a whole lot of men who will never start cheating either, ever. So you don't have to worry about you're going to get stuck with a loser. There's a good, and the same God who knows you, he already has the person for you. But you cannot meet Mr. Right if you have Mr. Wrong in your head and in your bed.
Yeah. Dr. Grace, how can they find you?
I'm going to be very honest with you. The only way you can find me is on LinkedIn. I started my Facebook again, but when I left, I shut down every single social media. I really was tired. But you and Max are forcing me to come out of retirement. So instead of retire, I'm going to refire.
Dr. Grace,
wait a minute. Here's what I know. We've really got to wrap this up. It's a hard wrap. But Dr. Grace, here's what I know. Your work isn't finished. We're not forcing anything. We're just lighting the spark that's already you. And before we go to Angie, because she brought us to this moment.
Yes.
So this one's for Angie because she would be watching this right now. And afterwards, she'd be calling all of us saying, "Ooh, that was a good show."
Max, can Dr. Grace and I have a show?
Yeah. Well, we're going to be back next week with another show.
Week.
So, yeah. But
thank you so much, Dr. Grace.
Again, this one's for Angie.
You're welcome. Yes,
thank you so
absolutely.
Much. Thank you so much. And we will see you next week, ladies, with Dr. Grace once again. So if you want to ask questions, please send us a question on Twitter and Instagram at The Polished Woman. Yeah, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Bye. Love you. Thank you so much.
Love you too.
Yes. And don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after. And
through faith I found love, with love I found home, the polished woman.